Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Okay, we're on. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another week of HouseholdStress.com for the Married Man live Talk Shoe presentation. Go over these rules real quick. No profanity, no judgment, and no hogging the mic. And that's it. And I'm not going to hog the mic tonight. Actually, I'm going to pass it a few times. But we do have a ladies' call going on with the same topic. Tonight's topic, the fear and anxiety around marriage. I want to get it kicked off before I pass this mic. I saw this movie yesterday where this two people were married. The wife was actually dying of cancer. And the husband didn't know how to handle it. And I guess his fear was of her actually dying. So what he did is he went out and had an affair with somebody else while his wife was dying.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which wasn't the gist of the movie. I mean, which wasn't the gist of what I'm getting ready to say, but that's actually what happened. And then the wife got well, and then he had to let the chick on the side go and tell his wife the truth, blah, 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 blah. The one thing that I don't think that we think about enough is, and I know most of us have our life insurance policies, but thinking about losing a spouse to an illness or a plane crash or anything, unexpected or expected death, do we have the discussion with them in reference to if, I mean, let's just say, well, actually, not if you know they're going to die, but let's just say now that there's no threat of death. Do we have the discussion with our spouse, honey, it's okay for you to move on after I die?
Man, you going to start right there?
I'm going to start right there.
I was going to save that for later because, I mean, that's actually my fear. And it's actually not a fear of her dying, but a fear of me dying. And I'm a little morbid, and I think about death all the time.
Okay.
And because I know, you know, tomorrow's not promised to anybody. You know, things happen, car accident, you know, whatever. You never know.
Sure.
And my whole thing is, that is my fear. I mean, I think that we talk about it, back to your question, we talk about it from a financial aspect, absolutely, and to make sure that, you know, the kids are taken care of, the wife's taken care of, that the house is not foreclosed on, all that good stuff. But I know that, you know, if my wife were to move on, you know, of course that would be her choice. But I don't know if I would put that on her to say, well, you know, I don't want you to move on in this amount of time or whatever the case may be. But, you know, honestly, I mean, I know I'll be dead and gone, you know, God forbid if something happened to me, but I'm just like kind of, man, her with another dude. I mean, it's almost the same thing like if you know, her with another, you know, cheating on me. I mean, it's even though I'm dead and gone in the grave. And I think about it to that extent where I'm long gone, you know.
Wow.
And that's why I'm just like, you're going to start right there. Because
and you know
what I was thinking about. Go ahead.
I apologize, man, for being on your street, brother. Because it seems like I'm not only on your street, I'm in the middle lines. The lines down the middle of the street.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's literally when you talk about this topic last week, that's the first place I went. You know, me dying and my wife moving on with another dude. And granted, I couldn't do nothing about it. I'd be long gone. You know, be cold in the grave, couldn't say nothing, couldn't do nothing, couldn't, you know, say yay or nay. But, I mean,
You wouldn't be long gone. And the reason why I say that is because she doesn't really have your approval. She doesn't have that conversation. So, because there's a lot of widows, male and female, that still haven't moved on for whatever reason. They feel as though it wouldn't be fair to their spouse, whatever reason. But they just have not remarried. They haven't moved on. They just learned to live as a widow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's healthy because you still need love. You still need a companion, You know, so.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, my wife is not going to find another man like me, period.
Listen, you may be right.
You may be right, Jimmy.
You may be right, but do you want her to be lonely? Grieving your death?
I mean, to be selfish, I would say yes, but, you know, for her sake, no. I mean, I would absolutely want her to find happiness again because I'm sure she could. She's, you know, she's a great, great wife, great woman. But, I mean, that's my fear, man. I mean,
Is it worth the conversation? And the reason why I'm saying this is because I had to have the conversation with my wife today.
Wow.
Before I got on the call. You know, because I knew I was going to ask this question. So I said, well, you know, let me not be a hypocrite. Let me find out, you know, what's going on in my household. And I told her, I said, you have my approval to move on. Opposed to sitting here trying to, you know, but I know my wife's probably going to be, she's going to pick the next dude apart. I already know. Yeah, well, you ain't this. And I'm probably going to do the same thing if it was, you know, God forbid that doesn't happen. But we're all going to pick the next person apart. Well, my wife did it like this, and my wife said that, and she protected me like this, and she cooked it like that. That's how we're going to do. But is it a conversation worth having now that everybody's healthy?
I don't know, man, because, I mean, I just speak for myself, is that I don't know. I mean, like you said, I mean, that's a choice. For her to move on is her choice, and
sure,
I think it's great that you told your wife that, hey, you know, you have my permission, because you know she's going to, you know, give the guy the third degree. He ain't going to be no bum. He's going to be a head of household.
Yeah.
And but I think it's good that you've given her that, you know, so if something happens to you tonight, you don't wake up, God forbid, you know, tomorrow, you know, you don't wake up, that she knows that down the road, you know, she can move on, but... Again, I think that's, you know, it's you put the ball in her court now, because she can decide to be a grieving widow for the rest of her life.
But exactly. You don't want that, man. I mean, you want her to have that comfort of moving on. That, you know, I'm going to respect this man's legacy and what he did in our lives, but and I'll make sure that our kids understand and know that you know, your father was a great man. However, you know, I got to still raise these kids, and I got to still live my life. I can't grieve off this man right here. Is that a true statement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because we want happiness for our wives. I mean, we strive to make them happy. That's one of our goals in life, is to make our mate happy.
Well,
so
bro,
that should end if we roll out. You know, by some unfortunate circumstance.
I think somebody wanted to get in there. Go ahead,
go ahead, brother.
Bro, I'm here with Patrice, burning at midnight oil.
Two workaholics together.
My wife had told me before I even asked, she said she's going on.
Wow. You didn't even get to say nothing.
So I told her, I said, I'm going to come back and haunt you.
I love that.
You know, but, you know, that's some things that you don't think about, but we got to keep it real because that's reality.
Reality.
Yeah.
We're here today and we gone tomorrow. That's why we should cherish every moment that we have, because we know that tomorrow is definitely not promised. Tonight, midnight ain't promised yet. I mean, it ain't here yet. But
that's right.
Yeah.
Promise. So we gotta cherish every moment that we have here, you know, with our loved ones.
Sure.
Yeah, but let me just add that, you know, knowing my wife, and you know, I was just joking about, you know, she couldn't find a man like me. Actually, I was telling the truth. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, literally, I don't know. I really don't know if my wife would want to get married again. I don't know that. You know, I can't. I wouldn't. And put. Let me put it this way. I would not be surprised if she didn't. And she wouldn't be a grieving widow. You know, oh, Rodney's gone. You know, she wouldn't be like that. But I don't know if she would get married again. I don't know if she would do the whole dating thing again, or she would just, you know, just roll, just raising the kids and just roll, you know, solo. You know, I you know, I wouldn't. wouldn't be surprised if she did not, put it that way.
But wouldn't at least a little bit of the burden be lifted off of her if she knows that that she's got your blessings, whichever decision she makes?
It would. That's why I say I commend you for having a discussion, you know, with your wife before you got on. I mean, that's a tough discussion. And, you know, like I said, I think it's, you know, I equate it to, I don't know about other brothers on the line, but I equate it, you know, to, you know, just thinking about her with another man, period.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know what I equate this to? I kind of equate it to if I was in a coma for an extended period of time, we don't have that conversation about pulling that plug and it's written up in our procedures and things like that. So, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, just have that conversation and be able to walk through it, because if something like that were to happen, I mean, you got to think about what it's doing to the people that are here. I'm gone. So there's no point in mourning and being concerned about me. I'm gone. I mean, that's it. You have to continue to live, and you have to be able to live a healthy and positive life that's full of happiness and continue to be that beacon of light and hope and direction and guidance for our children. So if you mourning and all distraught and not knowing whether or not you can take the next step or do this, whatever, I mean, that's just delaying a lot of happiness for a lot of people. What needs to happen, though, is an opportunity for somebody else to maybe come into the picture that is positive, that is able to be the head of household, that is able to definitely continue to lead my children in the right direction and put them on the path of faith and goodness and things like that, and see that their mother's respected by somebody else. Because I'm gone. I mean, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah,
you know,
I got to agree with you, because the first thing you said was leaving that will. I mean, that's your acknowledgement that, you know what, I'm going to leave you whatever I have. I'm going to make sure that we have all our bills paid and that the kids are taken care of, hopefully, and that I'm blessing you that you can move on with your life. I mean,
you're going to put that in a will?
I mean, I'm not.
I've never heard that verbiage
saying,
being displayed in the will. Yeah, you can go get your freak on after I'm gone.
Will is, I mean, is here's money for you to move on. You know,
yeah.
I'm going to make sure that the house is taken care of. I'm going to make sure my kids taken care of. Do what you do. I mean, without saying it, that's what a will really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let me just stop y'all here and just say, does she need another man to be happy?
But see, I don't think that decision is mine. I think it's one of those things where she'll make the decision, but the burden of having to sit there and say, you know what, would she want me to do this? I'm just turning the tables. If it was me and she was gone, would she want me to be with somebody else? Would she not? And then I got to sit there and torment over something that, a conversation that I will never have with this person.
Yeah.
They're gone. When I could have the conversation right now and it'd be over with.
It'd be over with.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not like it's going to go on for 15, 20 days. We might revisit it at different points, you know, joke about it, whatever. You know, but it's one of those things that if you don't have that discussion, then you spend maybe 5, 10, before you know it, 20 years have gone by, and you tormenting yourself saying, man, were they wanting me to go on? Man, what should I do?
Mm.
What you need to do is just have a conversation and ask, you know.
And be done with it.
And be done. It's over with. I mean,
mine took 7 minutes.
The bottom
maybe
line
not
is,
even that long.
7 minutes.
Maybe not even that long.
It would take that long. It would probably be them. You know, saying, "Wow, you really want to talk about this?"
Okay.
Yeah.
And you had a conversation. Maybe walk away, come back to it. Whatever. I don't know. But the fact is that you gone. What do you mean?
You gone. But yeah, guess what? This is a conversation.
If anything else, you know, we think about. That's probably one of the larger gifts when you think about being able to give somebody a gift or a blessing or something that you can bestow upon your loved one. If something happens to me, keep living.
Keep living.
Basically what it comes down to.
Keep living.
That's all it is. And keep living can be you fill in the blanks. What does it look like for you? Because I've done everything I could within my while I was sitting in the CEO seat and the head of household seat. And all those things, I did everything I could with filling out the will, making sure that you're taken care of with the house and the kids and everything. I've done what I can do. Now, hey, keep living. That's it.
But check it. What about if y'all had the conversation, and I'm glad that, you know, Tony's conversation. Uh-oh, got whole music. That's P-Town at the office.
Is that P-Town at the office?
Yeah, because he's on that conference line. It'll...
Okay.
Might have to text him.
I don't even see P-Town on it, to be honest with you.
Oh, it's not? All right. No. Well, must be that dude with P-Town, because they both at work.
Okay, so the Washington, D.C., right?
Yeah. Got it.
Got him.
Man,
got
you're
it.
Good. But what I was saying is, thank you, Mr. Host. The
yeah.
What I would say is that y'all had the conversation, and I'm glad, you know, y'all are so casual about it, like, you know, you want to get some ice cream. Yeah, let's get some ice cream, you know, whatever, how the conversation would go. But, you know, in that conversation, what if she told you, she said, I don't want you to move on, Peyton, you know, whatever the case may be. And, you know, God forbid, you know, something happened to her, and you sitting there, and the last conversation y'all had, she didn't, you know, she's like, no. I don't want you with another one. I don't want you moving on.
But here's the thing. It's like, at that point, I hear what she's saying, and God forbid something happens like the next day or the next minute or whatever, you know, slip in the kitchen, hit your head on the end of the table and gone, hitting the temple, and it's a wrap. I don't, but it's like, if you're not, I mean, it just doesn't make, it doesn't make sense. Because it seems like it would be one of those things where this isn't like, I mean, I don't know, a dying request. This is a coherent conversation. And it's not like you're saying to somebody, please continue to take care of our kids and please continue to do this or, you know, take care of such and such. It's not up to you. I mean, honestly, when you think about it, it's really not up to you.
Exactly.
I mean, you've done everything that you can up to that point to get them prepared to keep living. When it's all said and done, and you gone, all joking aside, what would you do what would she do if I didn't agree to what? She going to come back and haunt me? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, but, that in itself, then she really didn't love me then.
Exactly. And I think then that would warrant further conversation to why.
Yeah, I mean.
Why not move on?
Especially, think about it, where we all are right now, everybody is feeling young and vibrant and got a lot of life ahead of you. So if you go on tomorrow, your wife in 30s, 40s, whatever age group she's in, that's a lot of life left.
A lot of life.
And
yeah.
You going to tell her no?
So, I mean, literally what y'all are saying is that the conversation is basically giving her the green light. It's not really...
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what y'all are saying, is that you can't put her in a, you know, put her in a box and say, well, you can't do this or you can't date after I'm gone. You're basically saying, you know what, you're just releasing her. If something were to happen to you, God forbid, that go ahead. If you need a man to be happy, if you would like a man to be happy, go ahead and do that. Don't be worried about me. I'm dead and gone. So that's basically what y'all are saying. Just go ahead and give her the green light. That would be the respectable thing to do.
But see,
okay,
the words and the terms that you're using,
yeah,
like she's got to go through you to get permission. If she's gone, what do you contribute anymore?
You seem like you're having a real issue with this one, Rodney, because you just said, if you need a man to be happy, let me ask you a question right now. Does she have a man right now that makes her happy?
Say again?
Does she have a man right now that makes her happy?
Yeah, but as I said before, that man is me. So,
exactly.
I mean,
but you're a man, and you make her happy. So it's not do you need a man. Yes, a man's making her happy. I make my wife happy.
Right.
If I'm gone, another man hopefully will make her happy. And
gotcha.
I have to, and vice versa.
But I guess
another woman will make
me
happy.
Too is like, okay, it's one thing if you hear and alive. And let's say, throwing out a hypothetical situation, you get locked up and you're telling you for the rest of your life because you did something maybe to protect your family or whatever, and you locked up. And your wife is going on living her life. And you know because you're alive that she's gotten remarried and somebody else is doing this. Your kids coming to visit you and they telling you about the stepdad or whatever. That's a different thing. But when you're dead and gone, nobody is talking to you about anything.
Okay.
What's going on? You're not hearing but from the person around the neighborhood. Yeah, I saw such and such today. She was looking real good, looking real happy with that brother. You know, she gone.
She gone. You gone.
Okay.
So it's not like you have to. You're not going to hear or see anything. Nothing. And being jealous about that or allowing maybe whatever it may be, whatever word it is, to creep in and feel that with being dead and gone. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay how you feel about it, but I'm just saying you might want to think about that because honestly, you're gone. You did everything you could while you was on that watch.
And I know, but I'm just being honest, you know, fella. I understand totally where you're coming from. But I mean, I'm just being honest. You know, I would be jealous from the grave, if that makes any sense.
Wow. Wow. Well, let me ask you another question. I'm going to throw this other question out to the panel because that was the first 3.5 minutes. And then the other 3.5, 4 minutes, we talked about conditions. Conditions of it. Like, is there anybody that is? Is there anybody that is totally off limits to taking my place? Like one of my boys,
like your best
brother.
Yeah, and I thought you were about to say, Mr. Host, when you were saying, "Is there anybody?" I thought you were about to say, "Is there anybody that you can think of?"
No.
I was like, "Oh no,
no." Our game is too tight for that, y'all.
Oh, man.
Our game is too tight. There's nobody in the running. We done eliminated all of that.
Yeah.
We done, you know, when we said I do, we eliminated everybody in the running because we all on top of our game. But what I'm saying is there anybody off limits? We took it there. I was like, none of my boys, none of my family members.
But again, I gotta say this.
And you're right. I don't have a say so when I'm in the grave, but I do have a little bit. If we make a pact, it's a pact.
But
even though it may not go that way, but.
But again, it's not like you're in the pen and people coming to visit you.
You'll
saying,
never know.
Yeah, now she's with your best man from your wedding.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you're gone. I mean, it just seems like a real. I'm not trying to say a childish conversation, that's the wrong word, but like a real juvenile conversation to kind of have with those terms if you're gone.
Yeah.
Because it's not even up to you. You know what I mean? To put stipulations in it, this isn't like a trust fund or something that you're leaving for your children, how they can get the money and when they get it, and how they use it and how they can be. I mean, this is another person's life, and I think the biggest gift that you can give is the opportunity for them to decide for themselves at this point. I've done everything I could do while I was on watch. I did it. I'm getting into white heaven because I did it so right. I did it so right that I'm in the gates. I'm helping design a new security system for the gate.
So you would be cool if you died and you up there, you know, working for ADT on Heaven's Gates. And she's, like you said,
it's your best man. What
your
can
best
you do?
Man, your best dude.
What can you do? And here's the thing. We're going about this under the terms of assumptions that we can see what's going on. We might not be able to see nothing. I can say, when you're upstairs in the upper room, you know, they got windows in that room.
and you see, it's like, I know she ain't with Craig.
You bang it on the glass when nobody can hear you. I mean, that's all I'm saying is that the biggest gift that you can give is, look, I've done everything I can. Do what you feel. I mean, hey, because you know your wife or your spouse so well, you probably do. If you give them that freedom, they're probably going to make the right choice anyway.
Exactly.
They're probably going to say, you know what? I had this conversation with my deceased husband. And I'm not even going to go that route.
Yeah. So they would do the right thing. You wouldn't even have to say, don't date Craig.
So no conditions.
Right. Because here's the thing. You also got to think, most of us, we've been on the car, we talk, we got kids. The kids going to say something, too.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
I'm with you. Because my discussion ended with, we didn't have any conditions. We talked because I asked her, I said, but would there be conditions? And just like I threw out to the call, but it's not really about the conditions. It's about me having the blessing or you having the blessing to move on and be done with it.
It is.
Yeah.
Now, did she give you stipulations?
No.
Okay.
No stipulations. Because, I mean, you know, I know what to do. I'm not going to be disrespectful.
Right.
You know?
And I think you wouldn't even... Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't even have to be like, he's got to be a head of household. I mean, because you know that's the type of, you know,
that's what she used to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You left it right. You know what I mean? You left that legacy to the point where anything left just ain't going to cut it.
And when you think about it, too, like, I'm just, you know, flipping it. If something were to happen to my wife, I'd probably be in here. I wouldn't even be thinking about that for a very, very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that wouldn't even be in my mind. I wouldn't be like, oh, you know, it's not going to be like a monster's ball when the little cherry boy got killed and I'm going to be saying this might make me feel good.
But listen, we don't know. We do know that is a question that comes about because there's so many widows that have not moved on.
Mm.
And you got to wonder, why haven't they moved on?
Right.
20 years, 30 years, still haven't moved on.
They may never got that blessing.
They never did. Exactly. They're like, man, I'm trying to figure out whether it's the right thing or not. Would he be rolling? You know how people say he'd be rolling around in his grave if he knew I was dating somebody else.
Right, right.
Or maybe they just, you know, they had opportunity and they just thought about it and they made the choice on their own to say, you know what? Nah, actually, I'm good.
Which is some BS. We know that I'm good.
Well, see, are you talking about, okay, because there's a difference between remarrying and just dating.
Well, I mean, moving on, however, you know, it could be dating. It's still moving on. That's the beginning of moving on. I think that's the beginning of healing when you get back out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could be wrong, but, you know. And then if you decide to get married, I mean, that's the next step. But you've already, you know.
He said working for ADT at the Pearly Gates.
You didn't know that ADT up there, did you?
Mm-hmm. Now, there are, and I really didn't know how many marriage fears there were and anxieties that there are in marriage until I started doing the research, but there's a lot. As men, we have a lot going into marriage, anxieties, and that's why we prolong it as long as we can, you know. But once you get down to it after you're married, there's still things that we think about, and we definitely just talked about one of them. And I think that it is healthy to have that conversation, you know, even though you may think that it's not necessary, because it may not be necessary, but it's still, it could show also some compassion of how much you really love your wife by saying, I want you to be happy even if I'm not here. You know what I'm saying? Because it's, you know, I think that'd be a good thing to say. But we've all known the topic for a while. Does anybody want to bring out any fears that they want to discuss that are kind of on their mind about what's going on in their marriage, things that actually bother them, whether it be finances, whether it be no more freedom, the ball and chain syndrome, getting along with the kids, wondering whether the sex appeal is going to go away. There's limits. I mean, there's so many fears. Does anybody have anything they want to bring out before I start naming them off?
You know, when I thought about this idea last week and I threw it out there, I'm really glad that y'all picked it up. You know, since then, I went for a run, and it was crazy. But by this church, there was a detour sign. And when I'm standing there jogging in place at the light, I was watching this unfold with people in cars really, really confused as to what they were going to do.
Mm.
And it was a detour sign, but it looked like the church, you know, church puts the signs out and does all these things, you know, got little sayings on their little billboard. It said detour this way, but on the church's sign, which was right there by the detour, it said God's way this way.
Wow.
People were literally, and I'm standing there and I'm reading the sign, I'm jogging in place, I'm reading the sign, and I'm looking at people in their vehicles, literally confused. Because if the sign hadn't been there saying, God's way this way, talking about the church and coming to church, People would just follow the detour. Like you're supposed to. When a road is closed, you follow the detour, you get back on, you go about your business. Because
mm-hmm.
this was right there. Mm-hmm. And people had to kind of read, you know, because you're looking straight ahead and you're reading both. It was baffling. My point is for me, and the reason why I brought it up is because my fear is, am I always going to follow God's way?
Wow.
My fear, because even though I'm not as versed as I would like to be, you know, that's one of the reasons why I love to call is because I get on here and y'all be dropping science. Different people jumping at different times, coming in and out of calls. You know, sometimes they're on, some days they're not. But I always get something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's positive. But am I always going to follow God's way within this marriage to be able to do things to lead my family? And I want to think yes. But at the same time, man, there's a lot of stuff that comes at you. There's a lot of stuff that comes at you,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the workplace, you know,
mm-hmm.
the church. I mean, it comes at you from all angles. And it's one of those things that when I think about the fear piece, it's just, you know, how can I continue? And I know that this call is one of those things that I can point to right now because I feel really good. I don't know if it's been a year, but I've been on here close to a year. I'm feeling really good. Like, close to a year. I'm coming up on it.
Wow.
That's good. That's
good. Really, I stuck with this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Rodney will tell you, I was a little shaky at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, seriously, that's my fear. Will I get to that corner and take the detour because that's what you're supposed to do or that's what's expected or that's the easy way, or that's how you just reroute? Or will I always go God's way?
Yeah, and I think that you just, I mean, the one word you used was always, and, you know, we don't always do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the hope, you know, to your question is that, you know, closer to, you know, far in a way above the majority of the time. As close to always as you could humanly get is, of course, where you want to be. But, you know, as you said, you know, you came to the stop sign. You will just take that quick detour and just keep right on running and then realize, like, man, I should have took the other way, you know, down the road. But, yeah, I mean, you're not going to always make the right decisions in any facet of your life. And,
yeah.
You know, because we're human. And I think that you have to realize that, and whether it comes to, you know, you being a husband, you being a father, you being an employee, you being somebody's boss, or whatever the case may be, you know, it's going to be times where you're not going to make the right decision. And, you know, you just have to know that and just try to as much as possible, just try, you know, do your best and strive to make the right decision.
Well, I appreciate that because I tell you, when I was sitting there and I was reading that and just looking at people's faces like, you know, because you're sitting right there jogging on the corner and the cars are right there. And it was perplexing me. I was like, wow, that's clever.
And the church did that on purpose?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, I like that.
Because it's a detour sign pointing one way. The church is right there on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And that sign and everything is right there. So the sign is almost in front of the church.
Mm.
Saying detour.
You know,
and then they put on that sign right on the front, detour this, it said detour this way, God's way this way.
I think
like,
that,
that's clever.
I think that, and because I have the same fear, and not because I have the same fear that I'm getting ready to say this, but I think that if you're going to have a fear, that's a good fear to have.
Mm.
And the reason why I say that is because it keeps you on your toes. It keeps you in the game. It keeps you with God in the forefront of your thought process. When you're like, am I doing it? Even though we know we're going to fall short, because that's what we do. We're going to fall short more times than we'd like to. But at the end of the day, we're still concerned with, am I going to do it God's way?
Yep.
You see, there's some people that walk around that don't even think that. They just do it their way and
yep.
think that their way is, you know, the right way. And they're all right with that, which is cool if that works for them. You know, but there's rules to this game. And, you know, they're God's rules because the God's rules actually work. You see what I'm saying? I tried my rules and got divorced. So I already know, I don't know how to do this thing. So I had to go to a higher power and say, okay, somebody else needs to step in and show me how to do this. And to be honest with you, I got a lot from these calls, from talking to people, just like Peyton said, and they coming on. They don't come every week, but somebody will slide in there and give me a little food, you know, and I'll think, oh, that works, and I'll try to implement it in my life. But it's good. It's a good, if that's a problem to have, I think that's a good problem to have. Because you know where you're going. You know where your aim is.
And I appreciate that, actually. I mean, I actually feel like I'm on the right path then. Yeah, that's
for sure. For sure. It's a struggle, man. It's not an easy path.
Yeah,
people say that's a path.
You say he moved up a couple rows in the church?
He moved up.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a harder path than doing it your way.
Yeah, I mean, but like, you know, and to take it a step further with that detour and, you know, this way and God's way this way, I mean, I went to a happy hour and after work, and I'm standing there talking to some people, I got my hand just chilling, left hand chilling on it, and I'm leaning up against the table. This woman runs her hand over my hand and over my ring and everything and leans in and says, I want that.
What?
I was just like, what? That's the same thing. He's like, yeah, I want what you have. And I looked right at her, and I was like, yeah, I got to go. You know, ask the questions, though, you know, because you want to stay in there. Well, what do you want? Here, you know, but those questions opening up that window and that gate, and you don't want that gate door open. You can't pull that gate back shut. And again, those are the things that I'm talking about. Am I always going to be able, and I know always is a strong word,
mm-hmm.
but be on God's path and not take the detour? Because the detour could have been there. Oh, well, would you like to find out how to get here? I mean, I could have said something crazy like that.
But yeah, I think, you know, with that.
On the queue in that hour. So all I'm saying is the opportunity for me to take the detour was there. And to be a punk and have a lot of escape outs, escape routes to be able to say, well, that was just I had a happy hour, just a couple things, it was drinks talking, it wasn't me. But the fact is that I stayed there and I was like, you know, I got to go, I've got to go, and
yeah,
I dipped. And I had already talked to my wife, gotten the clearance to go to this because it was a job thing, boom, you know, all this. I was like, I got to go. It's things like that that makes me say, am I? Because it's coming at you all the time from all different angles. And you want to make sure that you're doing the right thing and you're handling yourself in the way that you should. But that's a fear, man. I mean, it's a fear.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that situation, would you think twice about going to the happy hour despite it being a job function, camaraderie and everything? Would you think twice about even going, even putting yourself in that situation?
I don't know if I'm as far as think about twice about not going because, you know, definitely what I do is about being there. It's
yeah.
about networking and doing all these things. I might not have one or two because one or two can definitely start to sway your ability to make good decisions. And even though I was able to still make a good decision, it's just one of those things where, man, it's like you don't expect it to just be coming at you, especially in a situation
mm-hmm.
where it's work-related.
Wow.
So I'm not there interacting with just random folks. I'm there with people that I know.
And I think
and And this is not Bible study by any means. And I don't want anybody on the call listening to actually think that that's what this is. But something that he just said brings back something that helped me when I was reading the Bible, and it says, don't get drunk. I'm pretty sure it said something else about drunkenness or but anyway, the gist of it is, don't get drunk. You see what I'm saying? What you just talked about goes to that statement. Because had you have stayed there and had 4 and 5 and 6, then the only thing that would have been able to help you is if that woman was like, nah, I'm only kidding.
Right. Oh, my God.
Because once you're drunk, think about it. You got no control over anything.
You sure
Everything's
don't.
All good. The old you just jumps right back into play.
Mm-hmm. And again,
it's all good.
Well, I always be able to follow God's way. And in listening to what was just thrown out there, yeah, I definitely have to reassess it. You know, am I going to these things or not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
but go. Are you going to drink? You know, just don't drink. Yeah.
Exactly. Don't become, you know, somebody that's a house body. You got to go. You got to socialize. That's your job. You got to be with these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But while you're there, you've got control because you already know the path that you're trying to be on. And if that path says, I'm going to have a couple glasses of wine, you know, but don't worry about it because you got a comforter that's with you. The Lord's not going to let you do something that you already told him that you weren't going to do. So something's going to give you a nudge because it happens to me. I get a little nudge. Don't drink no more. Because after that, I can't help you.
Yep.
And my body shuts
my
down at a certain time. My body shuts down. I've ordered a drink and took one sip and said, whoop, that's it. I can't do no more. Because after this, I don't know who's going to show up.
Different. You know, yeah, I'm Ricardo now.
Exactly. And it's all good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to take 2-3 of them to the hotel. I mean, it is what it is at that point.
Good words.
Yeah.
Good words. Any other fears, gentlemen? Intimacy fears? I know we deal with men. We deal with. I had a friend of mine that had high blood pressure and diabetes at the same time. He was in his mid-40s. He had to take medication to stay alive, pretty much. But the side effects of this medication affected his manhood.
Wow.
He had a younger woman. Okay? Younger. Y'all know what that means. You got to be a workhorse with them young women. It is what it is. They will help put you in a grave if you're not in shape.
Gladly, people will kill you if you let them.
Exactly. You know. But anyway, he could not, and I actually had a talk with her because all of us were very close. And she would say they tried Viagra, they tried Levitra, they tried all that stuff, and none of it helped.
Wow.
You know?
That's rough.
That's rough.
That's rough.
I mean, on the fear category, there's got to be in the back somewhere in the mind, I can't satisfy my woman anymore. You know? What's going to happen? She's going to roll out. She's going to be a trooper and hang in there and do other methods, you know, if there are any other methods. But how long can those go, you know? Is that something that we think about, you know? Or how about another one? I'm no longer attractive to my woman. I done put this weight on. You know what I mean? I don't have my six-pack no more. I got this illness that's making me look different than I looked when I got married? Do we think about it?
He dropping some heavy stuff, man. But, you know, my wife has told me that thank God, you know, I can pretty much eat what I want. I don't have to exercise, and I still, you know, maintain my six-pack, as the host says. But, you know, literally she told me, she was like, you know, don't you be gaining weight. I don't like no, you know, pudgy man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm, you know, I ain't no bodybuilder, nothing like that, but I'm a skinny dude. But she was like, don't even, you know, you better keep yourself together. So she done already put me on notice, you know, granted, I know, you know, I was, one would hope that she would just run off on me, you know, if that would have happened. But, well, like in the gentleman's case, if I had a health reason or something that caused me to, you know, get a little bulge around the stomach or whatever, but, I mean, I wouldn't say that that's a fear of mine.
Okay.
You know, but I think it's definitely, you know, it's something to think about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because after women have babies, a lot of them gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
And in the back of their mind, what do you think they're thinking? Mm-hmm. We may not talk about it. We may just roll with it because we love them. But, I mean, be real with it. In the back of your mind, what are you thinking? She don't look like the same person she did when I got married. Because that same person got you aroused by the way they looked.
Yep.
You look at that curve and say, my goodness, she is fat to death. Oh, my, I got to be with this one. I mean, I'm not saying that we're shallow, but let's keep it real. There was some physical attraction there with the woman that you married that may not be there now.
And Mr. Host, I'm actually glad you brought that up. I was going to bring this up probably in the off open mic hour, but, you know, since we're there already, you know, my wife, we just had this conversation this week. She's trying to lose weight, you know, because we do have a couple kids. And to those that know my wife is not a big lady, literally. So when she came to me, you know, about, you know, she wanted to lose weight, I was like, for what? You know, I was like, you don't need to lose a pound. I mean, what are you talking about? And so the whole time, as you said, I never was like, oh, you know, you need to turn on that treadmill. You need to get a run in or what. I never even made any comments because I liked, you know, the size that she had become after having to carrying two of my babies.
Mm-hmm.
And literally she was like, no, I don't like it. And then the whole time we had this conversation and I'm just like, you know, we're going back and forth and she was like, well, what do you think? And I'm like, I already told you what I thought. And this is now she's, you know, she's lost about close to 15 pounds. And, you know, she's like, am I getting too small? I'm like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, if you lost 1 pound, it was a, you know, I was like, hey, what's going on? So, but then at the same time, she's like, well, no, I need to, you know, I need to keep losing because, you know, I don't like the way I look. So
wow.
I'm just like, so does my opinion matter or not? Because you keep asking me and I'm telling you, but yet you're still like, nah, I want, you know, this is where I need to be, you know, so I'm going to keep, you know, I'm going to keep going or whatever. And I'm just like, what, you know, what do we got going on here, you know?
Yeah. I was on, I got a friend request on Facebook.
Facebook.
Yeah. From, and I knew it was somebody from college because, you know, the whole college crew is like, you know, they got, you got 12,000 friends in common or whatever that is, you know. So I'm like, yeah, it's got to be somebody from college. But I'm looking at the picture, and I'm like, I don't know who this person is. And I don't remember everybody's name, you know. And then I got to go into the picture, so I accept the friend because they're friends of a bunch of friends. So I accept the friend. And then I go in, and I got to look at their photos. And then some old photos come up. And I'm like, that's who that is? The peak looked like a different person from school. And you think a lot of people, now, if you meet somebody that looks like an adult, and I'm, you know, I'm talking a few years, I mean, okay, that's how they look, we just met. But let's just say you were college sweethearts. And now this person looks totally different for whatever reason. Health reasons, negligence, whatever the case may be, is that going to wear down on you just a little bit?
What do you mean wear down on you?
Just wait. I mean, you know, and I'm talking without,
you know,
getting
what
too explicit. I'm talking.
You know what he
person.
Means.
You know what
it was just more like weight and stuff like that. And
yeah.
I'd be like, man, I dodged a bullet.
Definitely weight.
That's should what he dodged the bullet.
For me, and, you know, I've shared this before, you know, I like petite women. My wife is petite. I basically, kind of like Rodney was saying, his wife said to him, I said to her, look, don't step out of bounds, because you right now, it's not going to be positive. And I just flat out, I mean, I just don't do big body chicks. That's not me. That's who I've always been. All my boys have always joked me in life, P, man, you dealing with these women that, you know, are like rails and whatever. I like. I mean, I that's just.
But look, that's all good. And if there's someone that likes big ones, that's fine too. But what I'm talking about is the fear of the change.
Yeah, yeah.
The metamorphosis right before your eyes.
Yeah, that's a huge fear, because, I mean, actually, most of the stuff within this house, our household, everything from nutrition to our diet to our exercising, yeah, I'm running that. I'm like Sergeant Slaughter in this piece. That's a source of frustration sometimes for my wife. It's one of our big conversations that we always have, because she's like, I've got to want to do this, and you being over top of me saying that we're going to do this is not making me want to do it. Okay. Play around with it if you want to. That's kind of how I've taken that approach, and I've gotten better. I don't say things. But the fact is that it is a legitimate fear, because it's like, I knew you. Again, going back to what Rodney said and what was stated, who you were is what attracted me.
Mm.
I think that you have to continue to work at that. Yeah, life is going to come at you fast. I'm not seeing the little commercials and all that stuff pushing me swing, and then all of a sudden it's adult. I get it. I understand. But at the same time, if you just flat out just get lazy with it and don't even attempt, that's where the problem comes in. You know, yeah, I set high standards and expectations. And like I said, I'm, you know, handling everything from nutrition to our exercise to our diet, all of that in here. But at the same time, you know, I just want to see some effort.
Mm.
There's no effort there, then we got a problem. Because,
yeah.
It is one of those things where, man, you're right, things could happen. We talked about this in the past. People get sick, something comes up, you get in a car accident, something happens, some type of accident, things change, blah, 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 and you adjust. But when you flat out just make a conscious decision to say, I'm not doing that, that's whack.
Yeah.
Because ultimately what it comes down to is like, man, if you know this is what I like, and I'm telling you this is what I like, you're not going to do it?
Mm.
So would that be a deal breaker?
Well,
it would be damn. I'm sorry. It would be pretty close.
The thing about it is if that is her stance, that I'm not going to do this because this is what you want, I don't care, it's a lot deeper than the weight.
Yep.
There's something deeply wrong with your relationship.
I guess, but I tell you one thing. I'm not playing around with this weight thing. I mean, as far as I know, from everything that we've had discussions with to when we've gone to our, you know, because we do our own little counseling and going to people, I mean, there hasn't been anything that's jumped out or anybody said, hey, there's other things. I just know that this area is a hot button for me. Because that's just one of the things that it's always been. And I've always been that way with myself. You know, so it's one of those things where it's not like, I don't know if there's other things. Maybe there are other things. I couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably right. But that's one of the things that I hope in time may come out in us going through our, you know, because we try to do counseling and stuff so we can keep our relationship fresh, do other things, this, that, and the other. But it's pretty close to a deal breaker for me. I'm just going to be honest. That's a fear.
That's a fear.
If I show back up somewhere with my wife and my wife is not looking like she did or close to what she did when people knew us when, oh, no, no.
So, brother, do you have, like, a number? I mean, like, do you do
anything
like a weigh-in?
Anything over $1.22 is too much.
Oh, I think my 7-year-old, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Dude, I mean, like, that's the best part I can say about, and going back to when we started off the call, honest conversation. And I've just been honest with it.
So she knew that going in.
Yeah, and see, that's the part that I said would be something where you say, "Wow, that, I'm taking this personally." If you decide a different direction, you know, because it's like, wait a minute, it's just like I've agreed to things, you know, with regards to what we're going to do and not do, and how I'm going to handle myself, and there's fears that she has for things surrounding, you know, me and us. And we talked about those things, but it with me in this weight thing, it's not a game. It's not a game.
Well, let me ask
you this
point
when she was when we were pregnant that she stopped telling me the weight, and I could see it. You know, I knew, but she stopped telling me because she knew that if I were to verbalize it to you, you'd probably lose your mind.
Well, let me ask you a question then, and this is kind of crazy. Do we have that conversation with our spouse in regards to explaining to them that this is one of my fears, that you putting on 100 pounds, you putting on 75 pounds, you looking different to me where the physical attraction may fade away? Is that how we present that, or is that how we break it down to them?
See, I haven't really broken it down that way, and I should, because actually one of my...
Because that's actually the truth.
Yeah,
it's a fear. If we have a fear, just like you have a fear of... You have the same fear I have.
Yeah.
One of them. Don't come in here and leave my house unlocked.
Yeah.
That's a phobia for me. Straight up. Everybody, I'm turning lights on, everything. Who left the door unlocked? It's a problem. I'm waking everybody up. I want to know. If I come home and my door's unlocked, I want to know who did it, because I'm going to repossess your keys, so you won't be able to get in to do it. And me and Pete feel the same way about that.
Yep.
But if that is that fear of them looking different, not by a health reason, is that something that we express to them in the words of being a fear?
Yeah, but I'll say that, you know, I probably, I don't know if I was as Sergeant Slaughter type as far as, like, my man is, but I was like that, you know. I was like, you know, I told my wife, you know, back in the day early in the marriage, I'm like, you know, don't you, you know, be getting, you know, too, you know, don't, you know, don't get too heavy now, you know, because I'm not going to like that. But then on the flip side, like, after we had a couple kids and we've been married a decade or more, and I'm looking at her, and she has picked up some weight since we were in college and, you know, young and everything, and how I met her.
Sure.
And I liked it. And I've said this before. I liked it. And now I'm at the opposite of what the brother's talking about. You know, she's like, I need to lose weight. She done dropped 15. And I'm just like, whoa, stop, please. No, stop it. You know, where she's at the, you know, where you know, Peyton starts. She's on her own. She's like running, doing what she needs to do as far as eating right and all of that for herself. And I'm just like, are you doing that for you, not for me? Because I don't need that. I don't need that.
Y'all ever seen a movie called Shallow Hal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying, in the words of our pastor.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, but is it a shallow fear?
But see, here's the thing. What makes something shallow if it's a legitimate concern of yours?
And you think that's legitimate.
I didn't say it was
not shallow.
I just asked the question, y'all. I mean, what if she got a big toe?
But you know that going in.
You know that going right. You just seen it in a pair of sandals and you say, I can't do big toe chicks.
There
you know that going in.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Now, what if she's... Perfect example, big toe, perfect example. What if she doesn't have a big toe? What if she got great feet? Then she starts buying shoes that are too small, and she gets corns on her feet.
What was that movie, Boomerang?
Boomerang. All right, well, it's 10 o'clock. Go ahead. Does anybody else have anything on that one? I don't want to leave anybody out. It's 10 o'clock. And I got a monkey wrench. But it's a delicate monkey wrench. I mean, it's very delicate. Do we have fears of our hidden struggles being found out by a spouse? we have hidden struggles that our spouse don't know about. Pornography is one. Masturbation is one.
Wow.
Looking at women that aren't our wives kind of lustfully is one. Sometimes thinking about other women while making love to our wife is another one. Things that we deal with, because we're human, we men, we deal with things, and we try to fix them. But is it a fear that maybe before we fix it, she might find out?
Things got quiet on that one, bro.
Yeah, you was on a lot
the
of
monkey wrench. Monkey wrenches sometimes do that.
I love 10 o'clock.
I mean, let's just go with how we handle our sexual urges when there's no sex going on as men. I mean, it is what it is. Some of us got to rub one out. Some of us say, okay, well, you know, I got to take care of this thing because it's been, you know, bothering me. Let me get this thing out of me and I can go on. But do we share that with our wives? Even though for us, it's normal.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't nervous about all that. I mean,
okay.
It's not one of those things where I'm going to be secretive about that.
Sure.
You know, because even before I was married or knew her, I was putting in work. I guess that's just the best way to say it.
Yeah.
I'm not secretly worried about being found out about that.
Okay.
She kicking the bathroom door like Sergeant Slaughter on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have that one. I don't have that one.
Anybody else? I mean, we grown men. It's not a difficult conversation to have like it was when we were 16.
No, not at all.
I mean, we understand. Trust me, we understand. Sometimes you got to rub it out and be done. You know what I'm saying? I understand that. But sometimes it's a situation where it's getting yourself satisfied without her being present, which for some people they just, you know, say, well, that's my business.
Yeah, but it doesn't even take the place of the time.
No, not at all.
Not at all. I mean, that's just a bootleg copy.
Not at all. That's just a vitamin.
The bootleg copy.
You know, that's just a vitamin. Let me eat this vitamin so I can go to work. Let me eat this vitamin so I can, you know, do what I need to do.
Let me get this Centrum. One a day for men.
One a day.
Yeah. But again, we can go to the whole pornography thing, because some of us don't struggle with pornography, but every now and then you might dab a little bit for that central moment.
Cinemax
moment.
Skinamax.
However you want to say, for that vitamin moment, for that, you know.
The
we may say, okay,
one.
Yeah, because you need a little visual, you know, sometimes you need a little visual. But do we share that with them? Are we like, oh.
You know what? Yeah, I can actually say with that piece, yes. I was at the gas station putting gas in the car, and I was in there, wife was in the car, baby was in the car asleep. Walked in, the line was long, so I'm over there by the magazines wrapped around, and I look over, there's a Double XL, a King, other magazines. So I'm just like, you know what, this line ain't moving. They are in the car. I'm going to pick this magazine up. I'm picking it up, and I'm flipping through the magazine, and every other page is just this
wild
this with just thickness, all just everything, you know, just... I mean,
it was the page.
Yeah, and I said, and here's the thing. For 2 seconds, I'm not going to lie to you. I said, I'm going to buy a couple of these. Because, you know, I was like, well, you know, and I'm saying to myself, how am I going to justify this to my wife? There's not really a lot of articles in here. So I put the articles. It's strictly about me buying it for these photos. You know, men in these barely there bathing suits. So when I got out to the car, I did not buy them. But she was like, what took you so long? So you did count all the people coming out the door. She was like, yeah, I could tell there's a lot of people in there, but it just seemed like you were in there a little too long.
It's all in your face, man. It was written all on your face. Yo.
Just imagine if she was, they weren't in the car.
And this is what I said to her. I said, I'm not even going to lie to you. I said, I looked over, and there was a double XL, a King. I can't remember the other names of the other magazines. Some names, I didn't even know what they were. You know, and I was, and she was like, you were looking at women in the magazines? And I said, I was waiting in line. And she was just like, come on. And this is what she shook her head. And you know what she said to me? You got to do better.
Wow.
You got to do better.
Oh,
and the fact is, I guess what I'm trying to say is to your point where you said, do you tell him? I told her. I literally told her. And, you know, we were able to move on from it. But it's the fact that I think, you know, ultimately what warrants me to be able to tell her is the fact that I know we have that relationship. I could talk to her about those things. You know, she'll definitely challenge me or say things, and she won't go on and on and on and whatever. She'll say what she needs to say, and it drives home the point. You got to do better. I mean, that was enough said.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to say, yeah, you know what, start the car and drive on off. But the fact is that, yeah, for 2 seconds, I was looking in the magazine. I was like, I got to buy some of these.
Wow. Hey, but hey, listen, I'm loving this call. Because we're keeping it real. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
We're keeping it real. I mean, some of us fear with that. Some of us, especially with that pornography piece, we had two long weeks. We had to visit it twice. And we talked about some of us that we did have struggles with pornography. But to answer, but to further the question, did we, with those struggles, include our wife in the struggle? And say, well, you know, this is one of the struggles I'm having. Or did we say, well, let me just try to get a handle on it, and maybe I won't have to have the discussion with her because I'll have it under control.
I think majority of your men are going to say answer number B. You're not going to go directly to your wife and say, you know, I'm addicted to porn and other women, and I put them before you. That'd be pretty tough to do.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So it is a fear, pretty much. Fear of being found out. Because if she finds out, then what?
Man, that's a lot.
She's going to look at us like being a pervert. She's going to look at us like holding secrets. She's going to look at it. I mean, there's so many things because, you know, a lot of things run through women's minds. So.
Yeah. Mm. See, that's why it's imperative for you to, I mean, I know it might be a fear or communication, but if you're marrying somebody, you got to put it all on the table.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what else to say. You got to bring it all out as much as you can, at least. I mean, if there's 22 doors in your house or whatever you got that are closed and you're trying to expose and open them doors, you need to at least open 21 of them or as close to 22 as possible so that you can be as open and honest. Because if you're not, man, wow, you just set yourself up. Because it's going. You all have said it many times on this call. What you do in the dark will come to the light.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only a matter of time before it does. You know, a good example. All the men that have been on that show on NBC or whatever to catch a predator.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. They got married. Some of them cats was deacons. You know, or doctors or whatever, and they got families or military veterans, whatever, coming back, you know, and everything. And it's like, obviously they were into this stuff before. They were always into it or was a hint of it there. They never brought it up because here's the thing. A fear remains a fear if you don't have anybody in your corner to help you out with it.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's some of men's problem fear with image.
Well, yeah, you're right.
That's a whole different topic. It's fear of image.
Yeah, I mean, the image that goes along with it ain't going to be great. If, you know, particularly with the Catch a Predator, you like 11-year-old girls. That ain't positive.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said,
men are born to say, hey, you know, you got to respect, you got to create a reputation for yourself, and then you got to keep it up.
Yeah, and especially like what you said, I mean, you got a beacon and you still looking at porn. I mean, that's going to affect your image and your psyche.
You're right about that.
Let me tell you what happened to me. When I had my pornography problem, and I'm glad today to say had, but it was real, because I've been watching porn since I was a child. Because when you're growing up in Manhattan, you can see it on TV, because cable was free, and it was porn after 12 o'clock off the hook. My parents were asleep. I was watching. As long as I could stay up, I was watching. And it just was something that I would learn to go to. And I liked it. It's just something that I like to do. So anyway, when I got married, I would still dabble, right? And I never told my wife, you know. One day, and I would still do it, watch it, you know. But nobody, I did, you know, I thought it was my secret. Evidently it wasn't. So when I got to the point where I felt it was time for me, that I did have an addiction and I wanted to beat it. So I went to her and said, I struggle with this and I am going to whip it. You know what she said to me? She said, yeah, I knew you did it, but I thought that you were doing it because there was something that I wasn't doing. You know what I'm saying? So she already knew what was going on, but she thought that it was because of her. Not because of my past, but that's why I was indulging in pornography.
Hmm. That came along. That was part of you before she even stepped into the picture.
Exactly. Which she didn't know because I never discussed it with her. I didn't say it coming in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is me. Here's my struggles. Here's this, that, and the other. I didn't say it. I just felt, well, you know, I'll keep it my little secret and whatever. But she took responsibility for my struggle because I didn't have that discussion with her. That was kind of weird, too, by the way. But it's out in the open, and it's over with now. So
yeah, especially since she knew.
She knew. She knew. You'd be surprised what they know. You'd be surprised because sometimes we get careless. Especially when we don't think that anybody's paying attention, sometimes we get careless, you know. And she knew, and she took responsibility for it, which was kind of wrong. But there was nothing I could do other than say, no, it's not you. It's something that I've been dealing with long before you, and, you know, I got to get rid of it. But that was definitely a fear of mine, of her finding out which happened.
And how long have you been clean, brother?
Been a long time. I can't put time on it, but it's been a long time. Months.
Good words. Good words.
Months. But not knocking anybody. Look, but not knocking anybody's thing. For me, it was a problem. That's why I had to stop, because it was a problem. It was like, yeah, it was started to be part of my DNA. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I had to stop. Some people might not have problems. Some people say, okay, man, maybe just tonight I may glance or whatever and whatever, or next month. And never think anything of it. For me, it wasn't that. It was a lot more frequent than that. So it was an issue for me. Not trying to knock what anybody else is doing. Just to, you know.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Patrice.
I think he's trying to get in there.
Hello, Patrice?
Yeah, he's breaking in. Up on,
breaking. Am I breaking in and out?
Yeah, go ahead. Start
over. Go ahead.
Real quick, do you think that it's women that take responsibility for our faults?
Did you say, do we think that the women take responsibility for our faults?
I think that's what he said. And I think that's, you know, like in your wife's case.
Yeah.
She was taking, you know, she was like, man, what am I not doing that he has to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it wasn't even about her.
No.
And, you know, I think that, you know, I can speak to that too, is that I guess it's been about a year since we had those back-to-back calls, you know,
mm-hmm.
about pornography. But, you know, I wouldn't say that I had a problem, but I would dabble in it, you know, a little
sure.
bit here and there. But you know, until it got to that, you know, when we got to the call, it was like, man, I need to, I can't have this in my life.
Yeah.
I just got to, you know, get it out. And, you know, since that time, you know, I rode past the grocery store, the King magazines and the XXL, you know, like the brother was talking about, but I don't pick them up. You know, it's like, and I just keep walking. Where's the bread? Where's the toilet paper? You know, just keep it moving. And, you know, so I mean, you know, ever since, you know, that when we had those two shows back to back on that, I've been clean. And it's so funny because it's, you know, with cable television and the channels and, you know, like you said, I mean, you can get a lot of free stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
stuff on demand. And it's like, this is free? This stuff is X-rated. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, absolutely, I've been tempted, you know, to go to it. And I've read the, you know, read what, you know, what's about to happen, the little info on it. Like, two girls, you know, about to get it on. And, you know, I was there, but I didn't access it. You know, I think I called you, Tony, one time. You know, I was like, you know, one time I was way on business. You know,
that's right. I remember.
Yeah, I was in a hotel room.
In the hotel room.
By myself. You know, everything was cool. It was late. You know, I was up. Program about to come on. I was like, oh man. You know, I'm away from home. Nobody won't know. I'm in my hotel room. Had the double locks on. The lights was off. You know, I was good to go. But then, you know, when it came time, the program was starting. You know, literally they say, you know, this program contains explicit, strong sexual content, you know, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And literally before the program got started, I cut it off. Because
wow.
I could not, you know, that was after we had our call. I could not let y'all down.
Yep, understood. And to answer your question, I think that it would be safe to say that, yes, I could see how they would feel responsible, especially the person that it's their job or their responsibility to sexually satisfy you. Because it definitely, in a marriage, it doesn't belong to anybody else but your spouse.
Right.
And if it's their duty to, you know, satisfy you sexually, and then you're going to another direction to get it, or there's lacking in some area and you feel as though, well, you know, this ain't working for me, so I need to go and implement something else, then I think that they would actually feel, because I would feel responsible,
mm-hmm.
you know, if my wife was had to get, you know, I looked in her drawer and there was some kind of dildo or something, you know, in magazines or whatever, you know, I would feel like I'm not on my job. I think it
all goes back to what you started out in the beginning, what we talked about, the whole communication, is that you have to come to her and say it, and articulate that this is not about you. This is about me. But at the
yeah.
same token, I need your help
yeah.
in beating this thing.
Yeah.
You know, just keep help me. I'm gonna try to keep me accountable, but you know, just help me in that area. You know, just articulate that. You know, and just put her on notice. Say this is nothing. I'm satisfied sexually. You know, our intimacy level is great. This is not about you. I think you have to articulate that. But at the same time, saying, I'm going to need your help in beating this thing.
Don't say that. Don't say don't say beating this thing.
Man,
please.
Sometimes I just make jokes and they just, you know, man, I don't even know I'm making jokes. They might get that tomorrow.
I don't think
anybody
else got that one.
Yeah, they'll get it tomorrow. They'll get it tomorrow on the replay. Good words.
Any other fears, gentlemen? Somebody once told me that when you're married, you're dating. I mean, you get married to the representative of the person that you're really married to. And sometimes that representative can go for a while, years, before you really find out who this person is. You know, and certain things may turn it on. Certain things that you may do may flip a switch, and you're like, wait a minute, who is this person? Yeah. Now, we know this is a fact because people are getting divorced. And a lot of times it's because, wait a minute, you aren't the same person I married. Who are you? Is that a fear of finding out who your spouse really is and wondering whether you will really like this person?
Well, you know, it's that smoke screen. You can sign.
Oh? Yeah, he must be riding somewhere. We can't hear him. Yeah, can't hear him, host.
I can't hear him. Anybody else? I guess that might not be a fear. I guess, you know, the representative is gone in most of our marriages. But I don't know. I mean, Rodney, do we really know? You've been married for, what, 11 years?
Yep.
You think you know everything there is to know about your wife?
I believe you're still finding out stuff.
Yeah, I am. You know, but I think that's part of. I mean, that's almost in some ways that's a good thing. It may sound kind of crazy, but you know, just still uncovering some things, and you know, granted, I'm not uncovering, you know, like you said, you know, something major. But it's just like, oh, you know, it's kind of, you know, you're just taken aback. But I think that's part of the learning process. And I think, you know, to your question, to your point, I don't think that we'll ever fully know our spouses, our wives. And they will never fully know us. You know, as you said, you know, with those hidden struggles, you know, will they know all of those? And some of them that weren't articulated tonight, there are other struggles that, you know, we have. But, you know, it's. You know, I think that's part of the discovery, you know, the challenge and everything. And, you know, as long as it's nothing major, it's just like, you know, the little quirks and idiosyncrasies that we all have as humans. You know, we all have our warts and our faults, you know, and just you may find those out at day one, or you may not find it out until year 21, you know.
Mm-hmm. You're right. But is it scary? It's scary.
Yeah, the unknown is, you know, fear of the unknown is always scary. Absolutely.
Yeah, my wife might have this sexual fetish that she just hadn't told me about.
Wow.
And it might concern, you know, putting things in me that in places that I don't know. No, it's not going to happen. But, you know, I mean, there's certain things, that, you know, about our spouses that we don't know. Mm-hmm. And again, the topic is fears. And I guess the place where I'm trying to go is that something that we think about? Like, you know, who are we really married to? You know, I mean, everything looks good, but are we fearing the fact that it might change and then I might see this person that I don't really know?
Right.
Or fear of growing apart. Because that's another killer of marriage. Growing apart, you know, fear that we don't have the same things in common anymore, or fear that she was doing stuff just to please me and I was doing stuff just to please her, but I didn't really like doing these things anyway. And now I'm tired of doing it, and she's tired of doing it. So what happens next?
Yeah, I think that I don't think people are necessarily fearful of growing apart. You just hope that it doesn't happen. But it does happen, absolutely.
For sure.
And then that's when the anxiety comes in. You know, it's like, okay, we used to be happily married, now we're talking about separation or even divorce. Or, you know, it's just like, that's when the anxiety comes in. It's like, how did we get to this point? And I don't think people really fear that, because it's kind of the last thing that you would be fearful of, because, you know, in our minds, we're like, oh, that'll never happen. You know, we'll always be, you know, on some kind of accord where we won't be to that level. But it happens. It absolutely happens every day.
Well, you just said something. You mentioned divorce.
Mm.
I wonder how many people fear divorce. Or are we cocky enough to say that it's just not going to happen to us?
I think it goes back to what the brother said. I mean, you talk about image. You know, we're supposed to be the head of household, and here you are in divorce court.
I think the reason why, I think we fear divorce. I think everybody on this phone does. I may be wrong, but I think that's why we're trying to get better and stay better, to prevent that from happening.
Absolutely.
I agree. I'm 100% one of the ones that fear divorce. I always have.
Good words. Good work. I mean, because, I mean, you know, that's devastation. Believe me when I tell you, everybody involved, it's devastation.
I mean, because you got to remember, especially when you have love and you have trust and you have all these things that involve in a marriage, you still respect your vows.
Yeah. Loneliness. I know I'm just throwing some stuff out there, but there's a long list of stuff that people fear in marriage.
Yeah, and I think I don't even know if we talked about the biggest one, Mr. Host.
Let's do it at 10:30.
It's the fear of infidelity. Fear that she's going to cheat on you.
Wow.
Because you, I mean, once that happens, it's like, you know how we are. It's like, whoa, what happened? You know, what did I do to cause this? What did they do together? What did she do? What did he do? I mean, y'all know how we do. That's the biggest fear, is the fear that she going to step out on you.
And actually, that's part two of that fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because part one of the fear is prior to getting married, you're wondering if she's even commitment worthy.
Mm.
If I marry this girl, is she going to cheat on me? Is she going to be the one that I got to worry about sleeping with one eye open, checking phone numbers and asking her where she's been, all that kind of stuff? We ask that question before we marry him to ourselves.
Mm.
And it just doesn't go away, does it?
It's just, you know, you see it every day. And, you know, we do, you know, everything we can. But, I mean, it's, I think some fear more than others, depending on, you know, the situations. And I think absolutely that's got to be one of the biggest fears.
It's got to be.
Because that reveals some inadequacies in you. That's a shot to the ego.
Wow.
You know, when she steps out on you.
And that's one of those, yeah, I fear, but I ain't tell nobody.
Mm. I told you.
That makes for a long day if you have all of those fears that are running through your mind.
It sure does, doesn't it?
That's got to make for a long day.
You are a basket case if you're running through all that. I mean, everything we talked about, if all that applies to you.
Ooh. Right.
Yeah.
I don't really, I don't have that fear of my wife doing it, cheating on me.
Me either.
I think
for me, it's more of, I think I'll cross that bridge when it comes.
Yeah,
and I don't, you know, whether that's right or wrong, or whether everyone agrees with it or not. I think for me, that definitely keeps my sanity. I think I just have to cross that when it comes. I don't think I wonder if she's not being loyal to me, or if we're gonna get a divorce, or now, you know, you get into heat of moments, arguments, and things like that. You do have a wonder whether or not we'll make it. Can we make it past this, or something? You know, some things of that nature, or whatever. But I don't think myself personally, I live in those fears.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll agree. I'll second that because I just threw that out there for the group.
Oh yeah, no, we know. We know that. Yeah, I mean, because, and I'll speak for my wife, and I can probably speak for your wives too, kind of knowing vicariously through you all how your wives are, but they show us the total opposite on a regular basis. Like, my wife goes out of her way to make me feel secure about that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I mean? Out of her way.
I agree.
Yep.
Right, and that all depends on, you know, where you're, and obviously that all depends on where your relationship is. You know, if you're in a constant fight, like I was saying, you know, maybe if we had a, and I'll just say a fight, not a disagreement or something, I mean, not a physical, but, you know, we could have a very bad argument, I guess I could say. And like I said, it'll cross your mind, yeah, I wonder how we're going to bounce back from this. You know, you do some things like that. But if you're in a constant state of that, then I can see where you could develop the fear of that there's going to be a divorce or she's going to be cheating on me. Especially, okay, let's also take from the standpoint of, You're not getting, you're not sexually active with your wife on long periods of time. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, maybe a question does pop up, and then from that question stem, there comes forth fear of, is she cheating on me?
Mm-hmm.
What else is going on in this relationship? We're fighting, and she's not giving me anything, and here it is. You know, month and a half, 2 months down the road, so what's going on?
Yeah. I mean,
I think it has to be a cycle. It has to be a continual, perpetual something to develop the fear.
Especially if your wife loves sex.
Mm.
And y'all not having it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
If you know she loves it and you know you ain't getting it.
Because guess what? It just don't go away.
Right. Yeah, right. That doesn't go away. You're right about that. Because you don't have to do nothing but look in the mirror to realize whether or not that goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't have to fool yourself.
Exactly. And I think that's a warning sign.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not doing it, and you love to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some anxiety that could take place then.
Mm-hmm. The other one is kind of like a no-brainer. Fear of not being able to support the family the way that is comfortable for them.
You know what? I think that would actually be, I would think, obviously, that would be a number one for head of household for men.
Wow.
I would think now, you know, maybe that's not the case for everybody. Maybe there's a sexual fear or there's, you know, something else. But I would think that, okay, let me put it this way. I think that should be the number one. Well, not that everyone should have a fear, but you should be that provider, that protector, to the point where that is a constant. That thought takes precedence over all your other thoughts.
Mm.
Now, I'm not saying to minimize sex or minimize these other things that are going on, but I think that one should trump all the others.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, in today's economy. I mean, anyone
right.
else get that pink slip tomorrow and be like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. We have all learned to tame our attitudes with bosses that may really need to get an earful.
Absolutely.
Because of that fear.
Right.
Because of that anxiety, let's just use that word. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you know, this boss don't have a clue what he's talking about. You know, I know more than him and trying to belittle me, whatever the case may be, and I really want to say something or do something. But if I do, it may affect me supporting my family, so let me just keep my mouth shut.
Yep.
Right.
You know.
And I've learned with that response, I mean, when it comes down to literally handing out the pink slips, they know that, you know, at least you, every assignment, you like, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. With them other ones, they don't think like that. They like, you know what? can take this and shove it. This ain't, I mean, literally. So when it comes down to handing out a pink slip, they're like, you know what? That young gentleman, every time I ask him to do something, he's just always like, yes, sir, I'll get it done, you know, whatever you need. Even though it may not be something that you think is right or agree with or whatever, but you just try to say, hey, I got to support my family. I can't be, you know, it would make me feel better if I, you know, gave you a tongue lashing, but what is it going to do when you come home to the wife and they didn't fire you, or you were the one where they say, yeah, we had to let somebody go, and we let the one with all that mouth go.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, well, even from our handling of money, even if, you know, the wife is kind of, if, you know, in certain situations, if that's what you guys worked out, far be it from me to say that's wrong, but, you know, if the wife actually handles the money or what have you, you still have obviously a responsibility to the financials of that house, because how you spending says a lot about this topic too on, you know, you're not fearful of supporting or being supportive to your family, and you out there just, you know, you buying up all kind of new stuff. I ain't going to say anything in particular because then somebody will think I'm talking about them, but you're just buying up all kind of stuff or spending money in all these areas and not necessarily thinking, what else could we be doing with that, with the kids or family vacations or anniversary, or, you know, not anniversaries, but me and the wife getting away for a little bit. You know, we're being selfish, so are we really taking that head of household role as seriously as we ought to? Now, granted, that's relative to what you're making. You know, I don't want to assume anything. I know any one of you guys could be very well off, and so spending isn't a problem for you, but, you know, I'm saying, relatively speaking, are we spending and not really taking our family into consideration when we're doing it?
Mm.
College funds, things of that nature.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, big screen TVs, stuff,
sure,
that, you know, we're getting projectors, stuff that we're getting for just to watch football. And we can easily watch football on whatever TV you got.
Right.
And we did. Past, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, you know. High death.
High death, yeah.
A death, right.
Wow. Yeah, I can see that being a fear, too, of being able to. And we talked about this last week, and we talked about putting faith in man,
mm-hmm,
and that 99.9% of the times man is going to let you down.
Yeah.
But do we have a fear of letting the people that we love down? Are we thinking about that, like our kids looking up to us and our wife, and then we let them down for some kind of reason? Is that, mm-hmm, something that we worry about?
And I think there should be, quite honestly, again, making this kind of the chief thought, I guess, that we should have. But I think there should be a level of anxiety that we ought to carry. I think that just kind of keeps us rooted and grounded in our position and our role.
Mm-hmm.
Because that anxiety keeps us thinking about those things and keeps us aware, sober.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess it's
healthy anxiety. I guess if there would be a healthy anxiety, that would probably be it. Keep you sharp.
That would be it, right.
Yeah. And Rodney, it's a verse somewhere.
Sober and vigilant.
Yeah, but it's another verse. I can't even remember when. I'm going to have to look for it, but it's about what you just said about you can't be too overconfident.
No.
You know,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, like just going back to the job situation. Oh, you know, I've been here
right.
10 years. You know, if they're handing out pink slips, I know I ain't going to get one. You know, it's
you'd
be the first one in line.
Exactly. You know, so I think that, you know, I think the brother's absolutely right that we have to, you know, stay on our toes and, you know, just keep our guard up and be vigilant, you know, because you never know what's lurking around the corner.
Yeah.
You don't really, and I'll give you an example of just from a financial standpoint where just a lot of things kind of hit us all at one time. An air conditioning unit went out, and then the next week the refrigerator went out, and then the next week after that my alternator went out in the car. And so, but before that obviously was making sure, you know, that we're putting money away, and because you never know things that could happen. And, you know, sometimes my wife even would say, you know, hey, now, you know, you're just being a little too cheap. on stuff, doing this, that, and the other. But, you know, at the time we were having this 100-degree heat and stuff like that, and that air conditioning unit went out, and we had the money to fix it, and then the refrigerator, and we had the money to fix it, then she starts seeing things a little differently.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, you know, being aware and being alert that things are, one, things are going to happen. There's no avoiding that. Things are going, I don't care if you're a Christian, you're a Muslim, you're a Buddhist, things are going to happen regardless. It's not about, you know, whether or not they happen, because that's what's, it's going to happen, and that's false religion to even think that because I'm in this religion, then I'm clear of any troubles, especially in Christianity when Christ is, all throughout the Bible, he talks about, you know, our days being few and that there's going to be, but they're full of trouble and you know, we're hard-pressed on every side and so forth and so on. And
you
so
have
we're going to
have,
we're going to have our challenges, but, you know, again, have we been aware? Are we sober? Are we paying attention? Are we storing up? Are we, you know, making our family ready for when these type of things hit? And not, again, just kind of, we have some money in the bank. Hey, why don't we just get this new Jag? Now, you got a nice Jag, but your house is 113 degrees during the summer because your air conditioner just went out. And then you got to sit in the Jag to cool off. You know.
But I think what Rodney was getting at is that, you know, if we, I mean, at some point we have to have faith.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, we, I mean, it's, I just think that, you know, faith is something that God gives us and builds in us so we're equipped to live as he wants us to.
Sure.
And it begins on the inside, but it's reflected on the outside in our actions. But I think that, you know, with regard to fear, I mean, I think you have to turn that fear into faith.
Right.
And, you know, Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Because as the brother said, he didn't see that his air conditioner was going to go out, the alternator
right.
was going to go out, the refrigerator was going to go. But see, you know, he was head of household planning, saving, you know, scrimping, and his wife like, oh, you're a cheapskate. And then what happened? He's like, oh, we need a new refrigerator. Whatever the case may be, he was able to come
right.
up with the funds, and it didn't put the family down in a hole since they went and bought the Jag. You know,
we don't have Jag.
Yeah, you know. But I think that, you know, it just goes back to faith, you know, because there are going to be risks and challenges, but, you know, God will lead us through those difficult times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if fear brings you, and if you move from fear to faith, then your faith should produce some works. So it's not good enough just to say, well, I believe that God's going to take care of me without you working the wisdom that he gave you to be prepared for the rainy days that he promised you.
Mm-hmm.
You know those days are coming, so now you don't have no excuse. You know that.
Yep.
You know that as sure as he told you that salvation is through Christ, you know that these days are going to be coming.
Yep.
So you don't have an excuse, especially as head of household. We don't have that excuse. We don't have that luxury. We're not the weaker vessel. We don't have not the same women have an excuse, but we definitely do not have the excuse. We know that we're going to have some rainy days as well as good days, and so we have to be. We don't know exactly what those did. Like I said, I don't even know what. They didn't know air conditioners were going to go out. I didn't know alternator, I didn't know refrigerator, all this stuff was going to go up. You know, two kids in college and so forth and so on. But one thing, well, I knew about the college, but I didn't know about the other. But because you don't know what's going to happen, but you do know something's going to happen. That's kind of, that has to be in the forefront of your mind and looking at your family. And it doesn't mean you're less blessed than the next person. It just means, you know, you're in that season. Things are going to happen. Cars are going to break down. That's a
That's
given.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it goes back to what we said earlier in the conversation, is that you never promise tomorrow. You're not even promised the next minute. So So there's always going to be a trial and a tribulation. You just got to be prepared for it.
Well, and this guy kind of goes back to marriage. You know, marriage as a whole, too, that, you know, you're going to have good days. You know, you're going to have bad days in the marriage. So, you know, you should be making provisions for the bad days. I mean, you know, to offset those bad days, doing things that you know your wife likes done, or, you know, if it's just whatever, getting out there and having the grass cut, not waiting until the weeds are 3 feet high.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know those are the type of the things that she had an off day. You know you're in for it already because the day that she had or whatever the case happened. So, you know, do some things. Head it off at the pass kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Swallow your pride and just do what you have to do in order to keep the household happy. As much as possible that lies within you, live peaceably one with another.
And that's
swallow your pride, that's a big one. Some of us haven't gotten that one yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But just like we talked about with the on the job site, a lot of times you got to swallow your pride because you still got to get that check at the end of the day. You know,
that's a hard one, sure.
Yeah, it's a hard one. You don't want to come home and be like, honey, I got fired.
Oh, yeah, because that changes everything, man. That changes all your plans and everything that you dreamed of and
yeah.
Your kids. Hey, man, that changes a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because there's a difference between saying I got laid off and I got fired.
Yeah, right. Right. You are totally responsible for being fired.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like I got quit. What do you mean you got quit? What happened?
Right.
What happened? Somebody quit you? What happened? And then most situation, well, what did you do?
Exactly. What did you do, dummy?
What did you do to get fired? How did you mess that one up?
That's rough. Yeah, I'm glad you said that.
You know what I mean? I mean, laid off, okay, I understand they don't need that many people. They're downsizing. Fine, no problem. We'll get past it. But when you come in and say, I got fired, then it's like, well, what you going to do? Ain't no we'll get past it. Well what you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, with layoff, there's some type of package.
Right.
Yeah,
you,
right.
Get you over the hump for a while.
Get you over the hump until you find something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my wife actually told me many, many, many years ago, you know, she was literally like, you know, if you get fired or something happens, you better not come home and not have another gig lined up.
Wow.
I mean, literally, don't come home and say, yeah, and let me go.
I mean, but, yeah, you got to put it there because you got to think about it, man. As head of household, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you may have a compromise with your wife if the health benefits are, you know, if her health benefit plan is better than yours or stuff. But, you know, for like me, health insurance, life insurance, car insurance, that's all under my name. I can't not go to work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's factual. And that means my kids can't get sick,
yeah.
My wife can't get sick, dental plan, and, you know, eye vision, all that, man. I mean, it's bigger than just your attitude or mad at one person when
yeah.
we're talking job. Hey, I'm just getting off work now. I don't put in 45 hours. No, I'm putting 50 hours this week, and the week ain't even over yet.
Right. Wow.
But,
wow.
I mean, it's just those things. You got to sacrifice and do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Good words. Now, I have to ask, because this is just Tuesday. So that's 44 hours.
There's not that many hours in the week that's passed already.
Year in, man. Government year in. That's all I can tell you, man.
hey, look, well, thank you for finding time to get on this call, brother. I
right.
appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, good work.
I had my workers on the call at work. I had the phone on speaker while they were, and so we can all listen. But, yeah, man, it gets tough.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sacrificing, you know, I'm telling people, hey, you know, for the whole month of September, I'm telling my team, you can't take vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's vacation month.
Yeah.
You know, and that just, you know, and hey, if you talk back, then I got to let you go. You know, those things type thing.
We just talked about that talking back.
Yeah, I mean, because
things we all have to go through and sacrifice.
Yeah, I mean, but I'd rather you tell me I can't take a vacation and still be employed.
There you go.
Because that's what that's all about. No vacation. We got to cut back on vacation pay. But behind door number two is you get to keep your job.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know. Wow. Well, this has been a great call.
Absolutely.
This has been a great call, eye-opening. Conclusion, we do have some fears, but we're going to call them anxieties. Because at the end of the day, we know better than to have fears, because we have one that is the great one that will take care of any obstacles or any issues that we may have by way of prayer.
There you go.
We can get that part handled. But again, thank you guys for sharing. We talked about next week's show, but Patrice got cut off, I think, before he said, no, did he say the topic?
Yeah, marriage deal breakers.
Marriage deal breakers. Yeah, and it's definitely
it ties into this right here about fears. I mean, you know, there's some things that we talked about that we said, hey, you should bring at the beginning. These things need to be talked about at the beginning. And it could be, hey, you know, not putting your clothes in a hamper. That could be a deal breaker for some folks.
Yeah.
Say that.
Yeah, and that might be a fear, things that you bring into the marriage. You may be afraid to say certain things. And I know we've talked about this before, certain baggage that we bring in that we should disclose, but fear of it not being accepted or taken well, we just don't say it. And then we try to handle it, but we don't have a handle on it. Then it comes out, and then we have to deal with it later, opposed to dealing with it in the beginning.
Right. Yep. Right.
You know, I think that, you know, that's important, too. We sum it up, so.
Yeah.
And we talked about, Rodney, I don't know how long you were on, but the first thing we talked about, just so you can give your point of view on it, was when we talk about one of the spouses dying, and then we talk about giving the other spouse, like for us, let's just say we passed away, and we give our spouse blessing to move on. You know, with someone else.
Yeah.
You know, and that was very interesting. Rodney had a little issue with it, but that's okay.
Rodney, I said I'm gonna be jealous from the grave. So.
And
you know,
one man
you know,
said that he was gonna haunt his wife.
Yeah.
Well, you know, me and my wife, we actually we've had conversation on that. Not really conversation. I guess it's more of a ha ha, but very true. Conversation on it, and I've kind of told her that. I was like, you know, do your thing when I'm gone. And, of course, she gave the right answer of saying, no, there's no way I could do that. Because I think if she had said otherwise, I think I would have retracted my statement.
Right.
And probably went, whatever Rodney said was probably going that direction. Which she had said.
She responded, yeah, you know, actually, I was thinking about you.
Right.
Boy, Craig. Yeah.
Yeah, but how did that conversation come about?
I don't even know how it came about, to be honest. It could have been we were watching a movie and something like that came up and you know, something that just, like I said, it wasn't a real conversation. It was more of a, oh, sure, yeah, go on, you know, do your thing after. As a matter of fact, I think I know exactly what it was. It was it was a movie, and I can't think of the name of it. The Notebook. What movie was she that she was watching? Was the one, the guy, P.S. I Love You, I think it is.
Yeah.
Where the
guy you're naming a couple of chick flicks here, brother. I just want to know it. And I happen to know that they're chick flicks because I watch it with my
right.
Exactly.
And the Notebook was off the chain, by the way. If you guys didn't see it, man, that's That's a good one. But go ahead.
Let me say, if you're married and you don't and you haven't seen those slicks, then you're not doing everything you need to be doing.
Say that, brother.
I'm just gonna put it out there like that. I know others argue, but
say that.
But anyway, yeah, that's kind of how that topic came up, and saying, well, would you want me to go on? Because the guy was telling her in those letters, you know, just go on and, you know, move on with your life or something to that degree. I don't know exactly how it went, but that's kind of what I was saying to my wife. Like, yeah, you know, go on, and if I left or whatever here, and she was like, no, I couldn't even see myself doing it. Now, of course, it's hard to say anything you would do unless you're in that situation.
Yeah.
And, of course, she spun it back on me, and, you know, what am I going to say? My back's against the wall because she just answered. So I'm like, no, absolutely, I could not do that. I would just rather just stay single.
Wow. Single life. That might not be good either.
Wow. Very true. Well, one thing I was going to say was the anxiety of losing control of your house. I wanted to throw that one out there. Maybe we can talk about that after closing out the call.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's a good one. And I'm gonna speak to that.
Okay.
Dealing with these teenage girls.
I was gonna say, now I have some insight, and that's why I brought it up. But go ahead.
Yeah, give me some insight.
Dealing with these teenage girls. As a father, your hands, I'm not going to say are tied, but there's only but so much that you can do. You got to raise them right, but still there's still these crossroads that, you know what I mean, you want to knock them out, but you can't. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because sometimes they get disrespectful and they daddy's little girls, whatever the case may be, but they start to do things that you can't really control, especially when it comes to boys, because you can't be with them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you want to actually go out and make those little boys disappear, but you can't do that either.
Right.
You know, so sometimes it's hard for you to grasp and control it the way you want to control it. Then you have to figure out, well, how can I be diplomatic, you know, and keep everybody in line? And that, for me, that's one of my anxieties because, you know, raising women aren't easy. It's not easy.
No, it's not. And being diplomatic is not easy.
No, it's not. It's not. And you can't always lose your cool the way you were taught to lose your cool. We can't handle it the way we normally handle our situations. Well, we were taught to handle them when you're dealing with girls. Boys are different, I would think. I've never had any, but I know how I would handle one if I had one.
Well, I can tell you it's different.
Yeah, they're different.
Boys are different, man. You know, you can pin them up. You snatch them up. You say, hey, you know, we're going to handle this like men. You can't do that with your women. That's how my father handled me when I was growing up. He said, you want to act like a man, that's how we're going to roll. You know, and it taught me some respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a little fear. I'm going to admit it. I was like, man, I do not want to go home and deal with my dad after what I just did. You know, but do we still have that same, do our children still have that same fear for us as we had for our parents?
Yeah.
Because now they have so many rights.
Right. And I would have to say no.
No.
To be honest.
No.
But, you know, and I got two daughters and a son, and, you know, the anxiety you can have. I know when the first one went off to college, okay, I'm kind of losing a little control there.
Yeah.
And I knew some of the things that were going on because I'm not naive. I'm not dumb. I know what's going on to college. I know my daughter. She's not a huge party goer, but naive nonetheless. And, you know, can go to thinking that everything is going to be cool and everything, but yet it's a huge frat party type thing.
Yeah.
And she's just, you know, she's just naive, I guess, in those areas. So she went away, and then I'm a little out of control, or not out of control, but not in control of what's going on now that she's away in college. Whereas when in high school, okay, well, you're staying in the house. Just stay in the house.
Yep.
For the next couple of days. Now, you know, you got your dorm or whatever. And then, and now the second one goes away this year. And now she's in college. So one's in Florida, one's in New York. And my son's a senior this year. And so, you know, he got his mind, but yet, like you were saying, now boy is different because you feel it's almost you're okay with saying, you know, being more stern to the boy.
Yeah,
because he's a man, so you don't speak to him as a young man, and so you know I can deal with that. And then you know you have and it's you and your wife, so you have a lot of those things. Or at least I do anyway. You got a lot of those things going on. It's like, wait a minute, you know, she's up in New York and she's doing her thing. She's down in Florida, she's doing her thing. Everybody's trying to act grown. I'm getting a little frustrated because you know they're growing up too quick, kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you know I'm getting a little frustrated with asking me and my the oldest had a had a little spat last week because of. And I think, you know, this is why I brought it up. I think it's because and out of this call I'm getting this is that there was a little anxiety, I think, with me. And I was frustrated. I don't really think what we were kind of arguing about was really about her more so than it was about me. And to be honest, before this call, I don't think I realized that.
Wow.
So this has kind of helped. It's therapeutic for me, I think, in some ways, because I was thinking more it's her acting grown, and I think it's more me not letting her be grown.
There you go.
Words, good words.
Wow, yeah, because I'm dealing with that with my 18-year-old right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not grown because of just how she carries herself, but she wants to be mentally.
Yeah, right.
You know, and she can't accept the fact that she's just not there yet because just responsibility-wise, you're not there. There's things that you, decisions that, that she made has shown me that she's just not ready. You know, but her argument is, I'm 18, and you know, because they keep throwing it. And I did that when I was 18. I told my dad, well, I'm 18 now. And he's like, don't tell me your age. I know your age. I broke my phone.
So I know you were born.
That's funny.
I know the hour you were conceived.
Exactly.
You know, and now it's coming back full circle. Now I'm like, I'm getting hit with the same thing I hit them with. You know, and I understand what they're going through, but it's still a struggle for us because now we have to figure out how to be diplomatic.
Right.
You know, how to spoon feed them a little bit less, I guess to say.
Right, because the grounding and the spankings or whatever is long past.
Exactly. So,
now you got to use reverse psychology, I guess you could say. It's like, okay, you made one mistake, kid. Now how are you going to handle it the next time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And now it takes more preparing for that conversation.
Right,
it may,
right.
The incident, whatever it is in question, may happen on a Friday or over the weekend. But you may not get to it till Thursday of the next week, only because we have to be cunning. As far as how we handle it, just like you said, it's got to be reverse psychology,
right?
With them, you know. But again, yeah, it may be the overprotective dad, you know, trying to deal with it. Because you know, my daughter's in college in Florida, and for me, I don't worry about it. And it's the weirdest thing. When she told me she was going to school in Florida, I was like, fine, go. You know, see the world. Do your thing. Because I don't have to worry other than them being in the house and it's 1 o'clock in the morning and she ain't home yet.
Right.
That's in your face.
Right.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
If she's out somewhere in college, okay, you stay in 4 or 5, you know. If you're not calling me with a problem, we're good.
Wow.
Right. Right. Well, you have to get to that point.
You got to get to that point.
You definitely got to get to that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm pretty much there most of the time. Most of the time I'm there, and then there's other times where you kind of have that I guess it's not empty nester syndrome. It's just the fact that the kids are gone. They are now young adults, and they have to start doing things for yourself. And for the most part, the oldest is a lot more mature for her age than I was. Yes. I mean, in terms of taking care of her money, she's, you know, she's taking what she's heard over the years, and she's been applying it in terms of her money and being responsible for different things that she has going on. But then, of course, just like anyone else, she's got her negatives, you know, with, like you were just saying, you know, she might be down, you know, out with somebody or whatever till sometime in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And I'm calling or whatever, and I'm frustrated because she's not answering the phone. Mm-hmm. And then we'll argue about it the next day. And how come you're not answering the phone? How come you didn't return my text or whatever? She said she was like, you wasn't asleep. I know you wasn't asleep. You know, we were going back and forth. But I'm getting more accustomed to you know, just letting her be her. I mean, she's 21. She'll be 22 in March, so.
But that is hard letting go, though, because I'm sure you remember her being that little girl that you were teaching her about money and doing her homework. And now she's like, I'm going out, Dad.
That's right.
You know, I might holler at you in the morning. I might not. You know, and it's hard letting go. And I think, like you said, that you know, that's the anxiety, you know, that we face as fathers. Like, man, I remember when I was changing your diapers. You know, and now you're just out here in college, and you know, and the bad thing is like, and you actually listen to stuff that I was teaching you. You know, to make the right decisions and everything.
You'd be surprised.
And now the opportunity has presented itself, and I'm like, you need to go upstairs and close your door, you know, cut the lights off, you know.
Yep. But Rodney,
last night, I got to say, you know, my daughter, they had this school trip where they went camping yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the first time, you know, I could let her go out by herself. Man, I couldn't sleep.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I couldn't get hardly nothing done. I wanted, it was like, you know, why you didn't give her, I was telling the wife, why you didn't get over the cell phone? Any other time you let her use the cell phone? So, I was worried, man. I was like, man, if one of those, all I could think was negative. If somebody touched my kid, right. I'm gonna be like that dude that was on the bus, the daughter. He was like, hey. I'm knocking any kid out of my door.
I'll fight a kid, right?
It's like, and even the parents, you know, I tried to be a chaperone. It was like, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I think that, because my daughter's the same age as yours, Rodney. She's mm-hmm. she's 21, 22, and away, like I said, in Florida. And there comes a time with me, I've become more of a friend to her now than that strict father guy, because I still want her to call. I still want her to ask me my advice and ask me, well, what should I do? If something wrong with the car, I want her to call me first.
Right.
You know, and I refuse to, you know, tell her what to do now, because I'm actually trusting that she listened to at least half of what I told her growing up, at least half of it. I think half of it would be good enough, because it's not going to be 100%, but at least half of it, she'll know how to make an intelligent decision. Not saying that she's going to do it that way, but at least she'll know, okay, well, wait a minute, hold on. I know the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, you know, and we're friends on Facebook, and sometimes, you know, I saw yeah, how about that? How about that? And I saw a couple pictures that I didn't agree with.
Uh-huh.
And I thought before I replied,
right?
You know what I mean? And I said, you have to be careful because employers look at your Facebook page as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have something that you may not want them to see, you may not want to put that on your Facebook, and left it alone. You know what I mean? Opposed to saying, well, you know, you get those pictures off, you know.
Yeah, you brought it to the employer level.
I had to.
When you were really talking from a dad point of view.
Exactly. Right. But look, you have to go there.
Yeah.
I mean, I was hanging out with my daughter in Miami on South Beach. We at Mango's.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who don't know, it's a place where they dance on stage and, you know, it's all good. And it was a little awkward for me because I was there with my wife. She was there with her boyfriend because we all hang out together now.
Mm-hmm.
She's of that age.
you know, and we're in a nightclub. You know, now nobody was drinking. I think I may have had a beer, but other than that, it had to be comfortable enough where she didn't feel that awkward. I didn't feel that awkward. We got this relationship where we're cool, you know, and that's the only time. I'm not saying be a friend like Patrice. I wouldn't tell you to be your kid's friend because you can't raise them being a friend. That'll never work. But when they get 20, 23, I think that's when the friendship part is acceptable because that's kind of what they're looking for at that point.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because if you haven't raised them by then, they don't want you trying to be a parent and trying to ground them and give them curfews and stuff at 22, 23 years old.
Yeah. I'm going to cut your cell phone off. You know.
Right.
I'm going to not give you no money.
Exactly. But, you know, a part of what you were saying about, you just made a comment about the car, you know, hey, car break down, you know, yeah, definitely call me or whatever. Well, that was a part of our little spat that we had because a friend of ours who's also down there at the church where she goes to church, he IM'd me one day and said, hey, you know, did you know Gigi's tire? Well, he says, I'm sure you already know that Gigi's tire had blew out or whatever, and I'm seeing if I could, you know, talk to someone and get it fixed or whatever, find her one. And I said, no, I didn't know. And initially, I started to just play it off because I didn't want to feel like, why did she call? You know, why did she call me? I don't need everybody knowing that she didn't call me either.
Yeah.
So he says, you know, I'm sure you already seen the picture. So she already sent him a text message of the picture, of the tire, and everything like that. And so I called my wife and I said, did you know Gigi had a blowout? You know, something wrong with the tire. And she said, yeah, she called me, and I was gonna call. So then I'm really kind of like, wait a minute now.
That's my thing. I'm the car guy.
Mine, really. So I'm saying, anything dealing with this car, I told her before she moved to Florida, I said, anything happened to this car, you know, you got to let me know because I've had that car for 10 years.
Yeah.
So I know everything that was done on that car. So let me know for you. And, you know, she doesn't know anything about cars. So anywhere she takes it, they're going to charge it on. So let me know what's going on with the car since she has this. So, you know, we start having this spat, and I'm like, you know, how come you didn't? You know, well, you're blown away out of proportion. I called Brother Raymond because Brother Raymond, I was being late for an event at the church that he had going on, so I was letting him know I was late and this was the reason. And I said, yeah, but you text him a picture. So we going back and forth until it got really out of hand. And then, like I said, listening to the guys tonight, listening to you guys talk tonight, I've gained some insight and looked at it in a different light and saying, you know what, and even what you were just saying about being, you know, a friend or at least starting that relationship, that friendship at that age and saying, you know, it wasn't so much her, like I said, acting grown. It was more me just not letting her be grown. She was trying to handle it on her own. I know she wasn't fighting me because me and her are very close. We're closer than her mom and her. But she wasn't fighting me. It was just, she was trying to handle things. She was trying to do what I've been teaching her.
Hey, gentlemen, I'm going to turn this off so we can go to open mic. Hold on one second.